Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to actually start the reading of the text back in chapter 1, verse 5. Our focus will be in chapter 2, but we need to get it in context. Titus, beginning in chapter 1, verse 5, and focusing on chapter 2. This is God's Word. "The reason I left you in Crete was to set right what was left undone, and as I directed you, to appoint elders in every town. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who are not accused of wildness or rebellion. As an overseer of God's household, he must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful message as taught, so that he will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. For there are many rebellious people, full of empty talk and deception, especially those from the circumcision party. It is necessary to silence them. They are ruining entire households by teaching what they shouldn't in order to get money dishonestly. One of their very own prophets said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply so that they may be sound in the faith and may not pay attention to Jewish myths and the commands of people who reject the truth. To the pure, everything is pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and conscience are defiled. They claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. But you are to proclaim things consistent with sound teaching. Older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible, and sound in faith, love, and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, and in submission to their husbands, so that God's word will not be slandered. In the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that any opponent will be ashamed because he doesn't have anything bad to say about us. Slaves are to submit to their masters in everything and to be well-pleasing, not talking back or stealing, but demonstrating utter faithfulness so that they may adorn the teaching of God our Savior in everything." For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Proclaim these things, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This message is about sound teaching. Now, hopefully, this message will be sound teaching. But Paul tells Titus that he is to appoint elders and that those elders should be capable of providing their listeners with sound teaching. Good, solid teaching. What does that look like? Well, let's just say this church is within a tradition that emphasizes the value of expository preaching and of the sufficiency of Scripture. We talk about those things. We believe those things. We encourage others to embrace those things. Well, what does expository mean? Does that just mean good? No, expository means that you look at what Scripture says and then you expound on that. You try to make it clear. Someone said to me this last week, and it was a cherished compliment, "My kids like your preaching because they can understand you." My favorite compliment that I've received across the years was from a 10-year-old girl whose family had moved to another part of the state of Georgia. This is years ago. She's now a board member. But at age 10, her family had moved to another part of the state, and they were going to a large church in a nearby city, and during the pastor's sermon, this 10-year-old tugged on mom's sleeve and said, "Where are we in the Bible?" And the mom said, "And I realized we weren't." Okay? We should be in the Scriptures. We should, in the midst of the sermon, to say, which verse is he talking about? What does this have to do with? Well, elders are to be holding to the faithful message as taught so that the elder will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. That's chapter 1, verse 9. So what does that look like if you're going to have sound teaching? Chapter 2, you are to proclaim things consistent with sound teaching. There's that phrase again. Okay, so would this be the basic doctrinal fundamentals of the faith, sort of a theology 101? You see, some of us deplore preaching that is just topical and, you know, 20 steps you can take toward a better marriage. 5 ways to make your finances secure. How to have kids who are on your team. You know, I mean, those kinds of topical messages that are extremely popular in some circles and, frankly, capable of drawing crowds. Because people want something that's practical and helpful. And we say, we should be doing expository preaching. God's word is enough. Just stick with the Scriptures. So we're going to stay away from anything that might be practical or helpful. No, you see, When we seek to faithfully preach this passage and many others, what becomes evident is that God's word is filled with practical instruction about marriage and the relationship between parents and children and how employers and employees are supposed to conduct themselves, both why to work and how to work. God's word is filled with instruction about everyday life. The devil would love, as a judo expert, to get us either thinking that it's all supposed to be tips for living, filled with hopefully some fluffy anecdotes to try and make everyone smile and feel better, or that it's all supposed to be just cold doctrine. And either way, people are going to suffer from malnutrition spiritually. But if we go to God's word and just work our way through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, what we find over and over again is that God's instruction on how to live is based on the good news, the transforming good news of the gospel. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is about to begin a bunch of instruction on how to live. In chapters 1 through 11, he's laying out the gospel. It's the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And in chapter 12, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because that's intelligent worship." In other words, how we are to live is based on what God has done. How we are to live is not what we do in order to get God to love us. How we are to live is a response to the amazing grace God has shown us in Christ Jesus.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, we're told here in this passage that the older men, as well as the elders, and the older women are not only to live in a godly way, but they're to teach others how to live in a godly way. Our lives are intended to give credibility to the gospel. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. To be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, and in submission to their husbands, because that's just what we like. Is that what it says? No. So that God's word will not be slandered. Look at verse 8. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that any opponent will be ashamed because he doesn't have anything bad to say about us. He's to instruct folks on how to live in such a way that our conduct is above reproach. Look at verse 10. He's talking about how slaves are to behave. And he says, demonstrating utter faithfulness so that they may adorn the teaching of God our Savior in everything. The purpose of our conduct is to give credibility to the gospel. It's so that when people see our lives, they begin to think, maybe they're onto something. Why do they do that? Why do they live like that? And it turns out the reason is because we know some really good news God has done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. We could never earn it. We could never deserve it. It is entirely by grace. And so now our lives are transformed by His grace and by His power so that we're expressing gratitude to Him by the way that we live. God's grace brings a salvation that is more than just forgiveness. Christians are being transformed. We're not a finished product yet. God is in the process of changing us by His Spirit from the inside out. And while we're being worked on, it can be uncomfortable. But we are called to holiness. So the result of God's grace is not just that we are forgiven. It's that we are becoming like Him. And the purpose of our conduct, as we said a moment ago, is to give credibility to the gospel. It was easy for me to come to faith early because my parents behaved like our Heavenly Father. And so when they told me about a Father who is loving, who is faithful, I could believe that because I'd seen that. Not everybody starts out that way in life. And there are a lot of people out there in the world who've been through horrible things. When we come to know Jesus, He wants our lives to begin to reflect His character so that more and more and more and more we look like Him. God wants to create His likeness in you. And if you're trusting in Jesus and in Him alone for your salvation, God is doing that. He's doing it right now. So, our lives here are being transformed. But there's one more point in this passage that we must not overlook. Our lives here are in anticipation of Jesus' return. We're not only rejoicing in what He has done for us, we are rejoicing because we know He's coming again. And so we live here based on what we know is yet to come. Realize that God's holiness requires that increasingly we are being made holy. Verse 14 says, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. That's what happens when we're waiting, verse 13, for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, if I know He's coming and I know what He's looking for is for us to be holy, I want to be prepared. I want to be changed. I'm not saying, oh God, please don't make me give this up. I'm saying, oh God, please help me give this up. Please change me. Transform me. Make me like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. That's the goal. Don't resist it when God is disciplining us. It's because He loves us. He loves us. And if we're living in anticipation of His coming, there's a whole lot of stuff that used to matter to us that just doesn't matter anymore. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is our children. And among our children, we are greatly blessed to have had the opportunity to adopt some kids. who already had some miles on them. We adopted a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. The 13-year-old and those younger were a sibling group from Ukraine. They were all three living in an orphanage there. And the oldest of those three, before he ever laid eyes on us, having heard that he was going to be adopted and that he and his siblings were going to a new home in America, he began giving away his stuff. He began giving away his stuff, his most prized possessions. He was telling kids, you can have this. Why? Because he knew he was going someplace better. And he knew he was going to have everything he needed. And so he didn't have to hang on to his stuff the way that you would if you're an impoverished child in an orphanage in Ukraine. He could release that and joyfully give. Joyfully give. Because that was no longer his home. He hadn't even seen us yet. But he believed the promise. And believing the promise transformed his life. Even before he knew Jesus. The boy wasn't even a Christian. But he became a model for me of what it means to live as a Christian. Because what it means to live as a Christian is that you know Jesus is coming, and therefore you can let the stuff go. I want to be like that when I grow up. You see, if you really believe Jesus has already laid it all down for you, that he gave his life on the cross for you, then can you trust him with everything else? Whatever he asks, it's like, okay, I don't understand, but I trust you. I trust you. Proclaim these things. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Folks, I just want to ask you this morning. This is a doctrinally sound group. Okay? If I gave you a test on Christian doctrine, you might not all know all the terms, but you would all embrace whatever you believe the Bible says. But when it comes to practical living, when it comes to our attitudes, our conversation, are you seeking to live according to sound teaching, to walk in holiness before the Lord, because your goal is to please him? In just a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to come to the Lord's table and to receive these pictures of his sacrifice for us. The Bible tells us we need to prepare our hearts because we're looking back at what he's done and we're looking forward to his coming again. The reason that we do this is because it's what his word tells us. But when we walk out of here, we need to be yielded to him, eager to please him, because nothing else really matters. All the rest of it is going to burn.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.